while Ardsale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Good morning, church. How's everyone doing? Good. Wow. This year has gone so quickly. It feels like the year was so mighty short. Or is it because I'm getting older? I'm not sure. But it felt so quick. I mean, it feels like it was just yesterday. I was saying Happy New Year. And here we are. The last day of 2023. I was talking to Pastor Deji yesterday, and I said, we had a conversation about, you know, today and the new year. And then I think just about probably 10 minutes into the conversation, I turned around to him and I said, Pastor, do you realize tomorrow is the last day of 2023? I cannot believe it. So much has happened. So much has happened. And what a year it has been. There's been great testimonies. There's been trials, there's been tribulations, but through it all, whether it was the good, the bad, the happy, the sad, through it all, the trying times, through it all, God was in the midst of it. He was with us. Amen? And I'm so thankful to God for today. And in this time, in this season, it can be difficult for some. I don't know about you, but I've come across so many videos this year of people trying to convince me of how to have a successful next year. I mean, there's more videos than there's ever been. Am I the only one who's come across? There's so many people online trying to convince us how to plan the new year, you know, how to slow down and reflect and project for the new year, create your vision board and all of this other stuff. It can be overwhelming sometimes, especially if you haven't had such a good year, if the year has been trying and you haven't achieved all the things that it is you wanted to achieve. But it is, I believe, important to reflect and also to plan for the year ahead. But there's one thing we cannot plan for, and that is life's unexpected events. Our sight is limited to the present. I mean, you can decide what you're going to eat, you know, in the month to come. And even with that, it's a bit difficult. Unless you have two fridges at home or you have a really big freezer, it's slightly hard to plan way ahead. Because life has its ways. Now, the Bible describes life as a journey, as a pilgrimage, a race. A race. And when you think about a race, you think, ooh, you know, it's fast. It's fast-paced. Life is fast-paced. But the kind of race that life is described as is not a 100-meter race. It's not a 200-meter race. It's not a 300-meter race. It's not a 500-meter race. Should I go on? It's a race of a lifetime. For some of us, it's a long race. For some, short. But for the majority, the far majority, it's a long race. And in that race, we get tired, we get weary. Life is a journey. And whether we want to admit it or not, we all have an addiction to arriving at the destination. Achieving, attaining, gaining, making more and having more is the goal. We rush all the time, and through life we're always busy trying to do and trying to get. Our scriptural text for today is taken from the book of Exodus. And as we all know, the book of Exodus maps out one of the most important journeys that has ever taken place in human history. In the book of Exodus, we read about the Israelites and their journey from Egypt to Canaan, the Great Exodus. The Israelites had been in bondage for about 400 years. And just to put that into perspective, I'm sure someone has done it for you before, but just to kind of home it down a little bit today, that's 400 years. So let's say if I was an Israelite in Egypt at that time, it means that I would have been born in slavery and grown up in slavery, and all I would have known was slavery and bondage. And then my father would have been the same. So he would have been born in slavery, grown up in slavery, and all he would have known is that way of life. And then my father's father would have been born in slavery, and all he would have known was slavery and bondage. And then my father's father's father. So that's a lot of generations. And even now, when we talk about the 1800s, we feel like that's far away. But those years have had so much influence on today's society. I mean, it's only now that things are starting to change a little bit. But those years have so much influence on how we see life and how we do life today. Even Christmas, the New Year's, and all of this other stuff, all the things that we have as tradition, they come from those years. So you can just imagine these people in Egypt, 400 years, 400 years of bondage. All that they had known, all they had known about life was bondage, slavery. But there was something peculiar about these people. They had stories from their ancestors. They heard stories about a great God that their ancestors worshipped, namely Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. They were descendants of someone who happened to be the prime minister at some point in that nation where they were slaves. They heard these stories and they knew about a God that had done many great things for their forefathers. And they heard about promises that this God had, but they did not know him. They did not know his presence. They hadn't known him for themselves. So God calls Moses, just to cut the story short, God calls Moses and tasks him with leading the Israelites out of Egypt into Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey. So here is the promise from God through this man called Moses. And he tells them, the Lord your God, the God of your forefathers, has promised that he will take you out of bondage into freedom, into a land flowing with milk and honey. And once they were freed from bondage in Egypt, they set out en route to go to Canaan, the land which God promised them. And God is with them. He's following them. He's with them a cloud by day. And he's with them through the night. But his presence is always in the outskirts of the camp. God attempts to speak with them directly at one point. But the voice of God is so terrifying for them that they beg Moses, who is the mediator between God and them, to continue the dialogue with God on their behalf. God had chosen the Israelites to be his treasure, his holy people. He made a covenant with them to be their God. He wanted to make an example of them for the other nations. And here they were, God speaking to them through Moses, leading them to this great land. In chapter 29, God instructs Moses and tells them, I want these people to be my people. He says to them, you are my people, and I am your God who freed you from oppression. God time and time again reveals to them the central motivation for this divine liberation. He says to them, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt in order that I might live amongst you. The whole point of God delivering Israel was to make it possible that God would be close and near them, living amongst them, being their God and them being his people. God calls Moses up to Mount Sinai to instruct him on how they should live, how they should be set apart from the other nations. And whilst Moses is gone, they determine in their hearts that God was taking too long. So I'm going to read from Exodus 32. And if you have your Bibles, you can follow with me. So Exodus chapter 32. I read. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, We do not know what has come of him. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in your ears and your wives and your sons and your daughters and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from them and fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, go down. Here are these people, the Israelites. I mean, God performed so many miracles for them. We talk about the presence of God and the demonstration that Babs did here, demonstrating God's presence. When you talk about God's presence with those who do not believe, they often question, how can you believe in a God you do not see? But these Israelites, they saw God. God spoke to them. They heard his voice. He performed many miracles in their midst. He divided the Red Sea. They walked through. He showed them time and time again that he was God. He showed them his character, his mercy, his love, his grace. But time and time again, they rejected him. And whilst Moses was gone, they created a God for themselves, a God that resembled their oppressor's God. They didn't make any other God. They had intention with the God that they created. It was a similar God to the God that their oppressors worshipped. They formed a calf, a God, Baal, one that would walk before them. They rejected God. At the very moment God was reaching out to them, they rejected him. Although the Israelites blatantly disobeyed God, he demonstrates his mercy at that very moment. Instead of completely destroying them, God disciplines them. He disciplines them so that they will learn from their sin, but he does not turn away from them. Now, Exodus 33, verse 12-19 is our scripture for today. And then here is Moses. God tells him, go down and see these people. Moses goes down. There's a whole commotion. God disciplines them. And then God calls Moses and gives him his verdict. Exodus chapter 33, verse 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, I have found grace in your sight. If I have found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. This is God's verdict after he had said to Moses, go with these people. Sorry, I want to read just a little bit. I'm okay to read just a little bit further up. I was meant to read a little bit further up. So let me read from verse 7, sorry. So Moses took his tent and he pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp. Called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people rose and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses, and all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose and worshipped, each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses, Moses' face to face. as a man speaks with his friend, and he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua and the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. So the Lord said to Moses, go down to these people. And he goes down and he tells them what the Lord's verdict was, that they can go, they're free to go, but he will not go with them because of their disobedience, because they rejected him as God. So God camps outside of the Israelites' camp and meets with Moses and talks with Moses. So here is Moses confronted with God's verdict, and he promises the Israelites everything they had hoped for. Moses knew that without God's presence, the Israelites were not any different to the other nations, and even with God's blessing, they could not attain all the things that they wanted to attain because of their stubborn hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Now, in the book of Psalms 139, verse 7, it says, where can I go from your presence? Where can I go from your spirit, Lord? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I make the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my most inner parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. Here in this psalm, it's clear to us that God's presence is everywhere. And the writer says in the psalm that God's presence is here with us. God's presence was with us and knew us even before we were formed in our mother's womb. So why then is God saying to Moses, you can go with these people. I will give them the land that they need. I will give them all that they need and all that they want. But my presence will not go with you. Why has God said this to Moses? Is God's presence not everywhere? Is God's presence not here at all times? What does it mean that God's presence will not go with them? Now, we know that God is omnipresent. We know that he's omnipresent. And his presence, and the presence of God, is different from the omnipresence of God. The manifest presence of God is different. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm struggling with my notes. I have a word in my heart from God, and I'm trying so hard to stick to my notes that I'm almost all over the place, and I'm going to put my pen down and speak from my heart. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So we know that God's presence is everywhere at all times. And God speaks to Moses and he says to him, go with these people, I will set them free. I will give them the land. I will give them the victory that they need. They will go to Canaan and possess the land. Go with them. I will send an angel before them that will fight for them. But one thing I will not do is permit my spirit to go with them. My presence will not be in their midst. Why? Because the people's hearts were hardened towards God. They refused to give him the honor that he deserved. They refused to put him in the place of God. The things that God had required of them was too hard. There were too many rules, too hard to follow. How could they do it? How could we achieve all these things? It's impossible. How can we please this God? It's better for us to make a God for ourselves that we know we can please. Let's form a God that is easy to follow. Why follow this God that has all these rules and all these things that he wants us to do? They forget the goodness of God and the things he had done for them. And God says to them, go. But Moses is troubled because he knows without the presence of God that the Israelites are nothing. Without the presence of God, they are just like any other nation. What sets them apart without God's presence? They're nothing without God's presence. They're a weak people, without food, without shelter, in the middle of a desert, without God's presence. Yes, God will give them the land. Yes, they will achieve all of these things, but without God's presence, their hearts are just like the rest of the world. They're just like these oppressors. What sets them apart? What makes them different? It's just like you and I. Living outside of God's presence, we know what we're like. We know what we're like. When we encounter God's presence, we cannot live without it. Because in God's presence, there is a difference. And the reason why we've believed in Christ is because we've experienced God. We've had an encounter with him that we cannot turn our backs to. Something happens when you come into God's presence. It changes you. It transforms you. It compels you to change. God's presence. God's presence. God's presence. You know, I love the demonstration that Babs made, but when I was thinking about the sermon, I thought, how can I explain this for the person who has never encountered God's presence, who doesn't understand what it means? Because it's hard to understand. And so I went on Google, and Google had this really good example. It had an example that said that God is like the internet. The internet is everywhere, but unless you have a device, unless you have data, you cannot connect to the internet. And God's presence is everywhere. It's like the internet. But without a device, you cannot connect to it. So God's presence, being absent, is like having a device, a phone, with no data and no internet. How useless is that? I mean, you can take pictures, but you can't make a call. What's the point of having a phone you can't make a call with? What's the point of having a phone you can't access the internet with, you can't use? It's useless. God's presence is everywhere. But you cannot connect to his presence without a device. And what Moses was saying to God is, God, I don't want the phone without the internet. I don't want the blessing without your presence, because it's meaningless. It's meaningless to have all of these things that I want, to have all of these things that I want to achieve without your presence. It's meaningless. It doesn't make any sense for me to be blessed but to be absent from you. It doesn't make any sense for me to have all of these things but be far from you. I want you with us. I will not go unless you go with us. I will not go, Lord. Once we have known the Lord's presence, it is impossible to live outside of his presence. And just like the Israelites, we are a work in progress. And although we have been set free from sin, and we still live here in this fallen world, in this body, God has delivered us all from the bondage of sin, and set us on a course, on this journey to becoming his image, to becoming representatives of him on this earth. But every so often, the frustrations of life can get hold of us and choke us out of his presence. I mean, when life gets hold of you, it's hard to connect to God's presence. I mean, we can come to church and experience his presence, but throughout the week, it's hard. When you realize the situation you are in, it's hard. It's hard to remember his goodness. It's hard to remember his love and his mercy. Rejection, loneliness, disappointment, sickness, lack, pain, failure, all of these things, poverty, can get a hold of us such that we can't even see past it. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 18 to 24, it says this. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched, and that burns with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and to the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words. Those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just man, made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. We have come to the throne of grace, to the grace of God, his loving kindness, his presence is not like how the Israelites had encountered it at Mount Sinai. It's not terrifying. It's not fearful. God says to us, do not fear. We've come to the end of 2023, and we may not have had all the things that we hoped for. We may not have seen the manifestation of the healing that we hoped for. Maybe our body is sick. Maybe we lack in certain areas of our lives. There's an emptiness, there's a loneliness that we feel. The promises of God have not come to pass. We've not seen it come to pass in our lives. Many things that we desire, we have not attained. But God says, do not fear, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, I am your God. Even in the sickness, I am your God. Even in your lack, I am your God. I will be with you and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I will be your God and you will be my people, my child. For we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, set apart for his good works. He says, I see you, I know all your needs. I have plans for you to prosper you and to give you an expected end. I want to be your God. PHBC, God wants to be our God. God wants to be our God. And here I am, an example. I do not know how, Lord, I said to him. But he says to me, go to PHBC. I've called you as a pastor, but I say, God, I don't know how. How do I do it? I can't do it. Go and speak a word, but Lord, how do I do it? Just like Moses, I said, God, show me your glory. I will not go unless your presence goes with me. I can't. I'm not one who can speak, just like Moses. He says, God, but how can I go to these people? I can't speak. But God says, go. Don't be afraid. But God, I have a sick son. Don't be afraid. But Lord, I'm not all that men expect as a pastor. But don't be afraid. Go. I'm sending you. your God. And God says to you today, PHBC, trust me, I will be your God. In 2024, believe me, I will be with you. Be not dismayed. You may have caught some losses in 2023, but don't be afraid. I am with you. You may not have attained the job, the house, the cars, the husband, the child, whatever it is that we're looking for and we're seeking here on earth. God says, trust me, I am with you. I have a plan for you. You are not on your own. You are not deserted. My presence is with you. I promise you, and I've sealed it in my blood. God swore that he will never forsake us. He swore by his own blood. I'm not afraid. And even in the mix-up of my notes, I trust God that he's in the midst of it, displaying my weakness, that he might be glorified, because it's not me, but it's the God who lives in me. I have a living God, and I trust in him. Even in my inability, I stand before you an example. Trust the Lord. With all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. Believe in him. And he will direct your path. Life is a journey and it's tough. There are many paths and turns, many roadblocks that causes us to turn back and go the long way. But it's okay. God is with us. He's in our midst. We have this assurance in Christ that he will surely see us through. I want you to stand if you believe that God is with you. Please stand with me. We have this assurance in Christ. In his presence, we have all that we need. He says, I am Yahweh. I am that I am. I am your provider. I am your healer. I am your counselor. I am your peace. I'm your father. I am gracious. I am merciful. I'm loving. I'm faithful. I am your first love. I am present. And I am your very present help in time of need. And that is his promise to us. Life was never about acquiring all of the things that society says we must have to be validated. Our validation is in Christ Jesus. All the things that we can get and acquire, these things are not secure. Our children, our spouse, our family can and will let us down. Material things will perish. Friends and family will abandon us. Our health may fail us. And even our wisdom can sometimes fail us. But the only sure thing is the presence of Almighty God, Emmanuel, God with us. We are nothing and have nothing apart from God's presence. He is all in all. His presence is heaven. It's the heaven that we have hoped for. In his presence, there is fullness of joy and there is liberty forevermore. God's desire for us is that you and I might continue to encounter him and continue regardless of the shame and the embarrassment and the fear and the lack, that we might continue to encounter him regardless of the pain and the sickness, that we will continue to pursue him, that we might know him as I am and know him as I am all that you need. We mean so much to God. And even whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? Amen? And if you're here and you don't think you deserve God's presence, or you're afraid to get into God's presence because you think I've sinned, I've made mistakes, I don't seek him, I don't know how to seek him, I'm a sinner, I'm ashamed, I'm an embarrassment, I can't seek his face, I don't deserve him. I want to tell you today, God is merciful. He is gracious. He is not angry and chasing you with condemnation. Those who are in Christ Jesus, they are free and made free indeed. Don't be far from him. Run to him now. Open your heart to him. Allow him to have his way in you. For nothing can separate us from the love of God. I want you to repeat with me, nothing can separate me from the love of God. It is his promise that he has sealed in his blood. So PHBC 2024, let us continue to seek God's presence.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.